Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you here this evening in your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us. If you'd like to join us, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330, by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. First off, a quick programming note. For those of you who have not heard, I have a new, how do I phrase this? A new gig, I guess you put it that way. Something new that will be taking a little bit of my time starting, in January. Our new morning show, Woodward and Witt, will premiere on January 5th. That's the first Monday in January. I'm thrilled to be joining veteran newscaster Ted Woodward weekdays. As many of you know, KNSS longtime morning show host Steve McIntosh announced his retirement earlier this year, and Steve's last show will be coming up here in just a week or two, and 55 years, an incredible career. So I will be joining the morning show. Our new show, Woodward and Witt, will premiere January 5th. So I will be on weekdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I'll still be hosting this show on Sunday nights, but I'm really looking forward to bringing news coverage, straight talk, some common sense discussions, and a little fun to the morning show. We'll be changing a little bit, not too much, but we'll do some more interviews, some new features, but the same general format with some tweaking. But this show will still be here on Sundays, but I'll also be here. So that, trust me, that Sunday night, Monday morning, waking up at 4 a.m. to be in here at 6 a.m. might be a little hard, but starting, well, thank you. That's very nice of you, Phil. But so look for me to also be with you to kick off the new year with you at bright and early at 6 a.m. starting in January. But so I'm really looking forward to that. And congratulations to Steve McIntosh on an incredible career. And I'm really looking forward. Ted and I get along really well, and looking forward to that starting off in January. Tonight, however, Peter Lumage, who is an attorney, Republican strategist, and first-generation immigrant from socialist Albania, will be with us to explain why the U.S. has halted green card and citizenship processing from a bunch of socialist and frankly, some terrorist countries. Secretary of State Scott Schwab will join us to kick off our 8 o'clock hour to discuss his campaign for governor. Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will tell us why they say the city of Wichita should reallocate spending rather than add the new 1% sales tax, which they say is rushed. And author Eric Weir will attempt to explain why, despite the data, voters just aren't feeling the benefit of Trump's economy compared to the Biden economy. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we'd love to take your calls throughout the show as well. Before we get to all of that, and by the way, a quick thank you to my buddy Leo Delperdang, who just texted me, who is sitting on his porch listening to the show, and I appreciate the text, brother. We do something that we've traditionally done around this time of year on the show, which is our version of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." So we'll read that for you. It's a little different this year, but so "Twas the Night Before Christmas" and "Santa's a Wreck." Try surviving a world that's woke and politically correct. His workers no longer answer to elves, vertically challenged North Pole persons, they call themselves. HR sent memos, mandatory reading, about microaggressions and gender-neutral greetings. The union alleges the workshop's unsafe and unfair, and Santa must now lead with empathy and care. Four reindeer vanished, no warning, no trial, released to the wild by activists with a smile. They said flying at night was emotionally taxing, and hoof-powered travel violated Green New Deal tracking. The workshop is empty, not a soul under the dome. Thanks to COVID protocols, everyone's still working from home. Productivity's down, but morale's real high, and nobody answers Slack before noon. Don't ask me why. The runners were stripped from his magical sleigh. They were declared unsafe by the EPA. He was told to switch over to electric propulsion, but the charging stations froze. Total system implosion. Secondhand smoke from his pipe caused a scene. So now Santa vapes, USDA approved and nicotine-free. His fur-trimmed red suit, oh, that won't do. They called it appropriation and culturally untrue. And just when you thought it couldn't get worse, Rudolph retained counsel, filed suit, of course. Unauthorized use of his nose, he's suing, God knows. Nothing says peace on earth like lawsuits that grow. Half of the reindeer are gone, and Mrs. Claus, too. She said, I need space. It's me, not you. She joined a self-help group, off to the Bermuda to play, and now demands her preferred pronoun is they. As for the presents, Santa never foresaw that generosity now violates federal law. Nothing of leather, nothing of fur, which means nothing for him and nothing for her. Nothing that pollutes and nothing that shoots and nothing that teaches how to compete or dispute. No to toy guns and no to swords and no to tanks, but a DEI workbook, oh, that gets a thanks. Nothing offensive, no matter how slight. No red states, nor blue states, nor truth left or right. Nothing warlike or gender-specific in sight, unless it's a book explaining why boys shouldn't fight. No candy or sweets, they're bad for your tooth. Nothing that questions your personal truth. Fairy tales, problematic, best put them away, like Dr. Seuss, Aunt Jemima, or Common Sense Day. They offend those consultants, deeply psychological, who say the only good gift is one ecological. No baseball, no football, someone could get hurt. Plus, sports encourage winners and expose kids to dirt. Dolls are sexist, trucks are aggressive. Legos lack balance and seem, oh, too oppressive. Nintendo will rock your whole brain away. But 6 hours of TikTok, well, that's totally okay. So Santa stood there, bewildered, befuddled, and confused. Fact-checked, censored, delayed, and reviewed. He tried to be married. He tried to be gay. Oops, you've got to be careful with that word today. His sack, it was empty, limp to the ground. Nothing acceptable anywhere to be found. Not one single toy had survived the debate between the CDC, the DOJ, the press, and the state. Still, despite it all, he went on with his chore, filled all the stockings, then paused at the door, and laying a finger aside of his nose, with a weary old sigh, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as the exploiter of elves, "Happy Christmas to all, but get over yourselves." We'll take a quick break, and then Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will tell us why the city of Wichita should reallocate spending rather than add a new 1% sales tax. Merry Christmas, Wichita! You're getting a sales tax. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got a holiday party, by the way, coming up this Thursday. If you'd like more information about that, you can visit the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. It's going to be a fun event. You can come on out. And then don't forget about their Days of Action. We don't have one here in December, but coming in January, it's the third Saturday of the month. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. If you want to get involved, help educate voters, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. Get all the latest updates on the show. Well, as I mentioned, Merry Christmas. Your taxes are going up. It looks like the Wichita City Council is poised to rush a proposal to the ballot for a 1%. Don't let them fool you into thinking it's a 1 cent. It's 1% sales tax to raise $850 million over 7 years for a number of new projects. It does imply that imposing a new tax is the only way to fund public safety projects. But, you know, do we really know what's going through this? Have we seen the plan? Of course, the answer is no. Kansas Policy Institute recently did an article on this. They referred to the plan as a, quote, non-starter, saying it looks good on paper, but the property tax relief component won't happen. Well, why do they say that? Let's ask Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. Dave, thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas, my friend. Nice to have you on the show again.
Same to you, John. Good to be here.
So let me start right there because, you know, one of the key ways that they're selling this to certainly the Republican voters, the Democrats don't care about property tax relief, but the Republican voters that they're going to need to pass this thing, the way they're selling it is A, that it's good to move from property tax to consumption, and B, is that it's a property tax cut. You say that won't happen. Why do you say that?
Well, we've seen this movie before. The state used to give cities and counties money in the local ad valorem reduction program.
Right.
The theory was the state will give them money, and that money will be used to reduce property taxes. What really happened is they just gave them more money to spend. You look at this is in our column, in the last 5 years that LAVTR was funded, the county average county property tax increase was over 7%. But there was no relief.
This will, I mean, there's by statute or ordinance or whatever, I mean, they will have to lower the property tax. You're not saying that they're not going to actually lower it, but what you are saying is that it's not going to matter because they're going to end up spending so much money.
Well, where does the ballot language require them to reduce property tax?
In the ballot measure, it does say that $150 million has to go to property tax relief.
Well, actually, the ballot language, and I'm reading here from a Wichita Eagle story.
Okay.
It says, shall the city of Wichita be authorized pursuant to such and such statute to impose a 1% city retailer sales tax effective date? And then we go into an amount not to exceed
right.
$225 million. Well, would $1 million satisfy that? It didn't exceed it.
So you're thinking that they technically could come in with less and say, due to X factors, we were unable to deliver the amount that we were hoping to, basically. Sometime down the line, a new council could give extenuating circumstances and say we weren't able to deliver the property tax relief we were hoping to and give us a bunch of excuses, basically.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there is one segment where it says the money will go into a restricted special fund with earnings to be used to reinvest into the for the special project.
Right.
That's not what they're saying about property tax and convention and new arts center and so forth. It just says an amount not to exceed. Well, I could spend a dollar on that, and I have fulfilled the ballot language.
See, you know, this is, and my objection, don't get me wrong, I've got lots of issues with this ordinance, the least of which is the fact that it's just been rushed. I mean, it's never been to the DABS.
Yeah.
They've had one hearing where when the Wichita Forward Group, which, by the way, is three rich guys that inherited their daddy's companies. But my biggest issue with this from day one has been the fact that it's never, we don't have a plan. There's no details. There's no itemized lists. They want to build a bunch of things, but they've not shown any schematics, no plan details. There's right. no itemization on how they want to spend it. And that's my biggest objection here. You want to spend yeah. near to $1 billion, and you're not giving us any details.
Well, and as you said in your opening monologue, the assumption is we can only do these things if we double the local sales tax from 1% to 2%.
Yeah. Well, that's just on food alone. But, well, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 1% sales tax now. They want to make it 2% in the city of Wichita. Now, the assumption must be, if you're going to run a sales tax to do these things, then they must be saying we couldn't possibly do them without the sales tax. Except they've never looked. The city of Wichita, and Wichita is no different than pretty much any other government entity in this country, it doesn't have a real budget process. It has an appropriations process. Staff prepares the budget, and it largely gets rubber stamped.
Right.
There is not, you were in the legislature, I think, when the performance-based budget system passed.
Correct, yes.
What is supposed to happen is each agency or department is supposed to prioritize the services it provides, have targets. What's the goal of this service, measurable goal? What can we do to operate it at more effectively and more efficiently? None of that takes place. And that's when that happens, this is why you see spending get out of control. So, for example, just in the general fund, since 2012, spending is up 66%. Inflation was 40%. Now, we've not had much population increase, and certainly not that would require additional people to provide services. Most of this is baked into the infrastructure. Pay and benefits are up 79%.
Yeah. The city council will tell you that the largest increase is pay and benefits. They say they've had to do that in order to basically keep up with the Joneses, is their argument.
I know. And the problem with that is, first, they have never analyzed to determine whether it is necessary to have all of those employees. This isn't, certainly we want government employees to be paid a fair wage. It needs to be competitive. The issue is how many employees we have.
Right.
Are there things we can be done automated with AI? We no longer really need to do it. It's a lower priority than increasing funding for homeless or for an arts center. This is where you get into the prioritization, and that's part of the negotiation that has to happen with this the elected body.
Well, I'm not sure they're interested. I'm not sure they're interested in prioritizing, to be honest with you, Dave. This looks like just a massive slush fund to me.
It's the system is not designed for elected officials to really get the information they need. What they should do every year, every elected body, is give the staff direction on what they expect in the budget. For example, we do not want you to increase property tax, and we do not want you to cut a service unless you tell us the service isn't needed. So you're not going to come back and, you know, we're going to cut the police and fire. No, that's not going to happen. You're going to only cut the service if you don't think it's necessary.
Right.
Figure it out. Go do the efficiency analysis. For God's sakes, John, they haven't even spent all the money they've collected since 2012. The general fund ending balance doubled from $23 million to $46 million.
We're talking with Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute, and I know I'm up against my bottom of the hour break, but let me ask you a couple of quick questions. Sure. The first thing, the proponents of this will say that a move from property tax to consumption tax is, quote-unquote, conservative. That it's a Republican value. I've looked at the party platform. I've looked at some of the arguments from conservative think tanks. I've never actually seen that. It's not in the party platform. Is that a conservative value to move, or is that just borrowing from Peter to pay Paul?
Exactly. That is not a conservative, fiscally responsible action. It's fine if you want to shift and completely get rid of property tax. And that way, you know, the money is really going for what you want it to. You can have that conversation. But part of that has to be, let's look at, all right, how many exemptions are we giving out?
Right. Yes.
Let's look at, do we want to widen, expand the base of what is considered taxable?
Sure.
Because, you know, the thing with the sales tax, as we're reminded every time someone wants to propose one, is that it hits the poorest people the most.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, you can't do this and increase spending by 30% at the same time. I mean, that's the
grade math problem.
Exactly. The math ain't mathing. And again, the other problem here is this whole plan that they've got has a Nancy Pelosi problem. It's reminiscent of, we have to pass the bill before we know what's in the bill.
Yeah.
And that didn't work for Nancy, and it's not working for these folks either.
You know, this is pretty obvious that it's been rushed in end of the year. Maybe people aren't paying attention, and then we'll stick it on a March ballot. Really?
Right.
How about taking some time to analyze?
They don't want
the prioritization. And if you want to put it on the August primary ballot where you know you're going to get a good turnout.
They don't want that.
This isn't a criticism. I'm not criticizing the people proposing it. I imagine they have good and very good intentions. Okay. But this isn't the way that you hit people with an $850 million tax increase when they're already overtaxed.
Let's see, and you're being generous. I call it $1 billion because by the end of the 7 years with inflation, that's what it's going to be. So I just say call a spade what it is. So.
Sure, could be.
Dave, one last question for you. At the end of the 7 years, this thing, at the end of 7 years, if it expires, you're going to have to pass it again or property taxes go up. So is this not just a permanent tax increase, sales tax?
Most likely.
Okay.
Because what typically happens is, well, if we don't renew this sales tax, then we're going to cut funding for homeless and we're going to cut funding for the. Of course.
Right.
Of course, this is going to become
permanent.
And
That's the difference between this, and I want to articulate this because I want listeners to understand they're doing a whole lot of sales pitches here. This is not InTrust Bank Arena, which was 3 years, build the arena, we're done, and it expired. which is one of the reasons people voted for it. Folks, this is going to be a permanent tax increase because it's so big and they're going to need that $1 billion. And what happens is Katie bar the doors at the end of the 7 years. So, Dave, I'm sure you guys are going to have more on this as we go through the process, but it's kansaspolicy.org, correct?
That's it. That's where the column, you can find the column there.
I appreciate it. And you can find it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page as well. Thank you, my friend. Good. We'll be in touch. And Merry Christmas, brother.
Same to you, John.
Coming up, Peter Lamage, who's an attorney, Republican strategist, and first-generation immigrant from socialist Albania, will explain why the U.S. has halted green card and citizenship processing from a bunch of countries that were previously listed in part of a travel ban. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And make sure you listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. It's the best way to stay in touch. And, of course, like and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. Well, the Trump administration is pausing all immigration applications, such as requests for green cards, for people from 19 countries banned from travel earlier this year as part of sweeping immigration changes. With us now is Peter Lamage. He's an attorney, Republican strategist, and first-generation immigrant from socialist Albania, who has devoted his career to defending freedom and constitutional principles. Peter, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you too, my friend. So the administration is making every effort to basically just to ensure that individuals becoming citizens are, you know, the best of the best. I mean, after all, citizenship's a privilege. It's not a right. You're not guaranteed. And I don't have a problem with this at all. They're trying to make sure, I think it's part of the America First agenda, but essentially making sure that we're getting people here who we vet properly. Is that the best way to kind of describe this policy?
Absolutely. You answered my, you know, I was going to say that coming to United States, my family and I did it because it's a privilege. And in order for anyone to come to United States, people have to apply for it. We're not asking people to come here. They are asking the United States to come to United States, if you will. America doesn't need us, including my family and I. We need the United States of America. When my brothers and I came to United States 38 years ago, we had to be vetted properly in a refugee camp in Yugoslavia. We had to be fingerprinted. We needed a sponsor. They made sure that we were interviewed by the U.S. Embassy to make sure that we came to United States for the right reasons, which is being an American citizen, embracing the values that we have over here and contributed to this great country of ours. What happened during the Obama administration, he lowered the standards of who is coming to the United States. Then the Biden administration came in and he destroyed completely the standards as who comes to the United States. We have no idea who is coming to the United States. As a matter of fact, we are enticing people to come to the United States for the benefits that we offer to them instead of coming to the United States to contribute to this country. And this is a perturbing fact for each and every one of us. I mean, we have to understand one thing. 38% of the people right now incarcerated in federal prisons are non-American born citizens. We pay about $76,000 a year to for keeping them here, providing the services that they need. Yet, if we were to point out these facts, you and I and others out there who love this country will be accused of you know, xenophobia.
Oh yeah, we're racists.
Go with it.
Yeah,
and this is problem that we have. I mean, I live in the state of Connecticut. If you move to Connecticut right now, anyone does it. If you live there for 2 years, you get in-state tuition. We have sanctuary cities. You get a driver's license. They have greater benefits, illegals in my state, that my kids who are born and raised in this state. And this is something that we have to point out and be fearless about it. Because Arnold Toynbee years ago said that great civilizations are not murdered. They commit suicide. We are committing suicide by bringing certain values and certain people and certain cultures to the United States from countries who are not compatible with us. And they are attacking us. They want to impose their values up on us, and they are going after our citizens, and they are harming our citizens, including the attack that happened, the assassination or the killing that happened in Washington, D.C. on the National Guards. We have to stop this.
Why?
And the West is to understand this.
Why did you think, I mean, I think, well, I'll be nice and let you be more practical than I. Why do you think that Obama and Biden were so willing to let them come in the way they did?
Oh, look, you know, Rush Limbaugh years ago said, and I used to listen to him a lot, and, you know, he said that the liberals in the United States are trying to create a permanent underclass. They always need this underclass that is the victim class, and they always point out that the victims and the ones who are victimizing them, it's always the Americans victimizing others. We're not doing that. We're giving people the opportunity to come over here. But when the Obama administration, the Biden administration were trying to they did it. They achieved that goal. They changed the makeup of this country for years to come. They want these voters. They want these people who depend on the government. The biggest threat to the Democrat Party is independence, is prosperity. Because if people become prosperous, they don't need a government. And if you become prosperous and you don't need the government, that means the Democrat Party becomes obsolete. Because every time they talk about anything, when it comes to certain groups that they identify as victims, is that the government will resolve or will solve or will is the solution to their problems.
Yeah. See, that's kind of what I thought, was that this was always about government control, basically, and empowering the government. I think if they had their druthers, they'd give them the power to vote, which many of them are trying to do in local elections. And if they could, they'd give them citizenship, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, they would do that. They've been fighting for it for years. And look, there are certain places, believe it or not, in the United States who are allowing illegals to vote in local elections.
Yes. Oh, yes.
There were 34 voter fraud allegations in my state were filed when they have the Democrats accusing Democrats of voter fraud. A number of these people, and these are Democrats accusing Democrats during the primaries of voter fraud, a number of these people ran for office. We had someone who was elected to city council, only to find out that the guy is not even legal in this country.
We had that one here in Kansas. We had a mayor who was elected mayor and was serving as mayor here in Kansas who was an illegal and has been caught voting illegally. And now he's actually was forced to resign and is now being prosecuted. He's being charged for voting illegally.
Thank God for Donald Trump, and thank God for Pam Bondi and others in the Justice Department that they are going after these people. Because, look, the moment we lose the power of voting in the Republican form of government, we have lost the foundation of our country. Because the founding fathers were very specific about these things that, look, you come to the United States, we embrace you, you come here with the values that we have and become part of this country. But we have a Republican form of government, which means that the law is above each and every one of us. Yeah. You respect that. But you come to the United States illegally and you try to impose your values. It really perturbs me. And for lack of better term, it pisses me up when I see protests all over the world in the United States with their flags, that those flags, those values force them to flee their countries and come to the United States for refuge. And we provided that refuge. And now you are waving that flag in front of me, in front of my family, in front of these American people. And we have to put up with this. If you don't like it, you always can get a one-way ticket and leave the United States. We ask you to come here. You came here because you needed us. You needed America. We're providing that refuge, but stop imposing your values on us.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I was driving Queens, New York a while back. I was trying to get an American newspaper, English newspaper, written in the English language. I drove for four blocks, walked around. I couldn't find anything in the English language. You come to the United States, you got your paper, you got your little, you know, city, you got your little old town. We're balkanizing the United States. We have seen what happened in the Balkans when people emphasize their differences. In the United States, who should not emphasize what separates us. These people, you come here, you embrace the values that we have, you assimilate yourself. I think that Donald Trump is right that he said that 19 countries shouldn't be allowed to have people coming over here as visitors or green cards. I think that should be expanded to 53 countries in the world. These are people who have, they are not going, we have to give at least 20 years from now in the United States to allow these people a chance to assimilate in our values. And if they don't do it, by all means, you can leave. But stop imposing your values upon us. We have a Judeo-Christian value. We have a tradition. We have the Constitution. We have the Declaration of Independence. We have our churches. We want to pray to the God that we believe in. Stop disrupting our way of life. And if you don't like it, for Christ's sake, by all means, go back to the caves of whatever country you came from. I have no problem with that.
Peter, I appreciate you. You're preaching it, brother. If I know we're up on a break, I've got to let you run. But if folks are interested, if they want to connect with you, I know you're running for Secretary of State as well. If people want to connect, if they want to help you, you're at Peter Lumaj, and that's LUMAJ.com, correct?
That is correct, sir.
I appreciate you again. Carry on the fight. Wish you the best of luck in your election. And Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your family, sir.
We'll take a quick break and we'll take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. AFP's got a great Christmas party, by the way, coming up Thursday. Phil, I don't know if you're planning on going, but you should come. Thursday night, they're partnering with the Sedgwick County Republican Party at their offices. You've been there.
I have.
Union Station.
Okay. Oh, I like that
it's,
place.
It's 4 to 8. So it's a come and go, partnered with the Republican Party. You should come by. The reason I'm asking is because, or reminding you is because it's, I wanted you to come, but.
I need to be reminded.
You should be reminded. Everybody can come. It's open, but you guys should come. It's at, Union Station 4 to 8, and, great folks at AFP. By the way, if you're looking to get involved in upcoming elections, help out with the judicial selection. Somebody just tweeted me on the judicial selection thing and wanting information of how they can get involved. And I was like, go to AFP, go to AmericansForProsperity.org, sign up, get involved, get activated. But then I thought, oh, and go to their Christmas party on Thursday. So that's why it popped into my head. But anyway, yeah, so should be fun.
Should be a lot of fun.
I'll be there. We'll have a good time. It's Thursday night from 4 to 8 at Union Station.
Okay. So. Very good. I wanted to take this moment to congratulate you on your upcoming, new gig.
Yep. Well, Ted and so, I.
Congratulations on that. Well deserved, and looking forward to.
Thank you. Should be fun.
A new chapter.
It'll
in
be fun.
Wichita Radio.
We've got some new sponsors, some new segments. In fact, I can share one of our new segments that we just confirmed. I'm looking for the email here. There it is. So we're going to do, there's a couple of new segments that we're going to bring on the show. Mm-hmm. So every other Friday, we will have a Washington, D.C. update with Congressman Ron Estes or Senator Roger Marshall.
Great.
So that will be a new feature on the morning show. Mm-hmm. How we have Mondays with the mayor and Tuesdays with the county commission. Well, now every other Friday, we're going to have a Washington, D.C. update.
I think that needs to happen. I think it's important because listeners, voters in general want their people that they elect. They want them to stay in touch.
This will be a regular feature.
A great way to do that.
And then you know how we do on this show. We do our Under the Dome update on Sundays. We're going to do that as well.
Okay.
On the morning show, we'll do a live on Mondays Under the Dome update as well with the Speaker of the House or the Senate President.
Okay.
So just a couple of little teases that we bring in. I can give you another one. You know how we have done the Dion Leffler and I segments?
Yes.
One Friday a month on the morning show, we will do a Hannity and Combs style discussion where Ted will kind of host and Dion and I will have a point counterpoint discussion on an issue.
He'll keep you at arm's length.
Yeah, he better. Dion and I are friends.
Yes, but you are.
Should be entertaining.
We'll do that
once a month as well. So. Coming up, we'll have an interview with my buddy Scott Schwab. I served with the legislature. We'll talk about his run for governor. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Well, we're always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting 39179 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal office as we can, so you have the opportunity to hear from them firsthand. We endeavor to invite as many candidates as possible onto the show so you have a chance to hear from them yourselves. All that being said, joining us now is Scott Schwab. He grew up in Great Bend and graduated from Fort Hays State University. Prior to entering public service, Scott was a small business owner. He was first elected to the Kansas House of Representatives in 2002. He was elected to Kansas Secretary of State in 2018 and reelected in 2022. Scott and his wife, Michelle, live in Overland Park with their children. I actually had the pleasure of serving with Scotty in the house myself. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend. Merry Christmas, brother. It's nice to finally have you on the show again.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. It's been a while. And Merry Christmas to you too. And yes, we did serve together. That seems like a long time ago, but it
doesn't it?
It's not like, 'cause we're getting old.
Yeah, well, hey, now we don't like to admit that. You know, Scott, it's funny because I think about it, it has been a while, and it's been a pleasure to watch as you transitioned, you know, from the legislature into Secretary of State. And I kind of feel like you're sort of like the Corleones. You know, you got out, you escaped the Capitol building, and you went over to the Secretary of State's office. You've done a great job over there, and now they pulled you back in. You know, why would you want to come?
They told me I jumped.
You jumped. Okay. Why?
After 15 years plus in the legislature, became Secretary of State. I was on a computer system that was outdated. It was purchased in the 1980s. And when we migrated off it, we went from annual filings on business to biannual filings on business. Not a huge deal for most people who look at it, but it cut our workload in half. So now we're cutting fees. And so if we want substantive tax policy change and cuts in Topeka, it's up to the next governor to find cuts. And it's not going to be through cutting services. It's going to be through finding efficiencies and leveraging technology. Well, and I've done that. And I didn't ask for any money from the legislature to do it. And so that's the burden of the next governor.
Well, and I can say, as a small business owner who does have to go on your website and do that stuff, I can say, in practically speaking, it has been easier. Your office has made that easier for my wife and I to do those very things. So I guess I could say thank you. And if you can do that in the governor's office, then, hey, kudos to you.
And that's the point is in previous administrations, you know, we cut taxes, but we increase spending. So you have to decrease spending. But then if you cut services, people complain. You cut education, people complain. But if you leverage technology so you don't have to do that, that's a win-win. Now we're an affordable state and Kansas government is running efficiently. And almost every industry, they have to do that. Banking, real estate, your industry and broadcast, you have to modernize. But for some reason, state government doesn't. And it's time they do.
So let's talk about that cutting spending. You and I both left the legislature in 2018. Since the time that we left the legislature, the state budget has grown by 57%. Over $10 billion. Yeah. And you know, our population over that same period of time has grown by only 58,000 people. Do you think Kansas has a spending problem or a revenue problem? And either way, how do we fix this?
Well, okay, so I'd say yes to both. We do have a spending problem. We need to slow down. And part of that is because we have a court order to spend a certain amount on K-12,
right,
which is completely wrong. Which is why it's important we change the way we appoint our judges, because almost everybody on the bench has been appointed by either Laura Kelly or Kathleen Sebelius. Only one on the Supreme Court has been appointed by a Republican governor. And we're a Republican state. And so there were four school districts out of over 280 that sued the state to have the current formula. So the whole thing, it's inefficient and it's unbalanced. So that's the spending problem largely. The other portion of it is we do have a tax problem, and it goes back to being efficient. Let's use our dollars efficiently. Let's leverage technology. The number of things that I now that I'm on the administrative side of government, I'm constantly seeing the administration do everything by paper base as if it was 1920.
Yeah, I think you're right. By the way, we're talking with Secretary of State Scott Schwab, who's one of the candidates for governor. Yeah, I think it's interesting you mentioned the entire branch of Kansas government that's essentially controlled only by attorneys. There is a judicial selection amendment that's going to be on the ballot next fall, same time you are. I know your answer to this question because you participated in that forum we had earlier this year. But you support the constitutional amendment on the ballot in August?
Yes, I'll be voting for it. And people are like, well, I don't know if I want that much politics in the bench. And I get it, but there's already politics in the bench.
Right.
But Wichita's a great example. I mean, Jeff Gearing is one of the best justices in the state of Kansas, in Wichita, and he's elected. And when I'm in Sacred County, I don't hear anybody complaining about that. So let's just do that with our statewide. Now, we do need to answer the question, do they run in districts? Are they statewide? We don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions. But we have to agree that this is the first step. And that's why that's important that passes next August.
You know, there are a number of issues that because you're, you know, out of the building, you're across the street, you don't have to deal with as Secretary of State, but as governor, you would. One of the issues, you know, Laura Kelly's made it her signature item for 7 years, going on eight. I guarantee she's going to push it again this year, is Medicaid expansion. What are your thoughts on Medicaid expansion?
I don't think she's going to push it. I think
has she finally given up?
I think Congress did. In the big, beautiful bill, they cut the match. And so states that did embrace Medicaid expansion, they're stuck holding the barrel with, do we kick people off services or now do we go bankrupt to keep them on? By Kansas holding the line, we're no longer on the hook for that. So the match that she wanted isn't there anymore. And that's why even the hospital association is like, yeah, we're not even talking about that anymore.
Well, maybe you're right. Laura Kelly hates to give up on her plans, so we'll see. But maybe you're right. Let me ask you one thing. I know I'm coming up on my break here, but let's say you win, and I know you want to. So, but let's envision that you are. What's your first 100 days? What are the first 100 days of the Schwab administration look like?
It goes back to what I just said. Modernize. I tell every agency, you either modernize, reduce spending, or both. If you're going to increase spending, it better be to modernize your agency so you can spend less going forward. The next generation cannot afford the current state government.
We're coming up on the break here. Scott, do you mind sticking around through the break? We'll come back and ask a couple more policy questions. In particular, I want to ask you about your bald plan. And no, I'm not picking on you for your follicle situation.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you, John.
Stick around. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Well, if you're looking for a way to get involved, if you want to, you know, help educate voters, you know, help folks understand the issues that matter, make sure to check out our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They do their Days of Action on the third Saturday of every month. It's just a great way to help educate voters. You can get more information by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. It's the best way to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is Secretary of State Scott Schwab. Scotty, one of a number of declared candidates for governor. Scott, if you talk to voters, and I'm sure you do, I get callers all the time. One of the biggest concerns we hear from voters has to be property taxes. And, and I know the legislature's done what they can. There's not a lot that the state can really do anymore on property taxes. But you recently released what you call your bald plan. And again, I'm not picking on your follicly. I'm literally, that's what you've called it for decreasing property taxes. Can you tell us about the plan?
Yeah, so this is the third part of what we're campaigning on. The first thing is modernize, revitalize, and fix. Modernize state government, revitalize rural communities, and fix a broken appraisal system. And so the plan, the BALD plan, stands for Better Affordable Living by Decreasing Property Taxes. So it's my BALD property tax plan. And it's bold, and I always tease because big governments need a haircut. But all that said, it's a 9-point plan that actually helps give tax relief to property taxpayers. Some of the points that I really like is, like, the first one is, if a jurisdiction is going to request an increase in the mill levy, it's going to the vote of the people in that jurisdiction.
I love that idea. That is the first tenet on this, and it should be. I love that. That first thing right out of the gate, and that's where it should start.
Right. That way it's not a panel of a few taxing the broader public. But if there's a jurisdiction that want to increase their own property taxes, whoever that governing body should be pleased that, hey, it's not my fault. You all voted for the tax increase, right? And so the other portion of it also is what I think is incredibly more fair than what we have today, is if you sell your property for less than the evaluation from the appraiser, you should get a tax refund. They should not be rewarded for a mistake. So if you sell a house or a commercial building for less than it appraised for, each jurisdiction that collected property taxes proportionally pays that back, and I think it should go back 3 years. But whether it's 1 or 3 or 6, that's a policy decision by the legislature. You and I both respect that as policymakers in that building. But at least we have a framework of, here's some basic things that we can do to give relief to taxpayers, as opposed to always rewarding tax spenders.
That's that refundable income tested property tax credit portion, correct?
See, it's not even a tax credit. It's just cash. Hey, right. We overcharged you. Here's your refund. You get a refund if you overpay your tax, your income tax. Why not get a refund if you overpay your property tax?
There's another element in your plan where if you go before the taxing authority and you win, they pay your legal fees, which I thought it was another great idea.
Yeah, if you hire an attorney. Yeah, and this, again, comes from people, actually in Wichita, listening to people, what they're concerned with is, like, I have to hire an attorney to navigate this process. You know, if I appeal, the first step is just crazy. I have to go to the county appraiser and ask them to admit they're wrong. And they'll smile at me, but most times they just like, yeah, no, we're right. So then you go to the State Board of Tax Appeals. They don't even smile. They just tell you you're wrong.
Right.
Then you go to district court, and normally an assistant DA is like, look, I ain't got time for this. Let's just, what do I got to do to get this off my desk? And you negotiate, but the next year goes back up. One, if I had to get an attorney to get through that process, you're paying for it. Two, if I win, it's locked in for a few years, from anywhere from 3 to 6 years, or 2 to 6 years. Again, that's a policy decision by the legislature. minus improvements. Granted, if you finished your basement, your valuation clearly went up. So it's still fair. But I think appraisers need to quit using the appraisal process as a ghost tax increase and really just appraise. Your job just to, you're in the get it right business. What's that property worth?
Yeah.
And then don't go past it.
That was another element to your plan that I really liked, was the fact that you can't do this rubber band effect where, okay, I go in and I win, and then the next year they just punish you by reallocating and going back to where it should be, so I got to go back in and fight it again the next year.
Right, right. And they don't care. Hey, it's so much work on the taxpayer. What do they have to lose?
Right.
As a tax assessor. So this actually gives them something to lose. Hey, if we lose this at district court, we may want to just be a little bit more fair. The other portion is the software. Where are they getting it? How do you get to that number? I think this, you know this, the Department of Revenue has a property valuations division within KDOR. And they're the ones who set the guidelines, but no one says the software, the appraiser has to follow it. Let's put it in statute that software gets certified by Kansas Department of Revenue. So you can't just buy software that blesses you and hurts the taxpayer.
You also call for an immediate cut to the state 20 mil property tax in here, too. Now, again, the details, you allow the legislator to work out the details. But again, there, what I like about this is it's meaningful reform that could directly help taxpayers, which is what we need.
Right. And this is not a big partisan issue. I mean, none of this is like far right, far left. It's just basic things the state can do to make the property tax process fair. Right now it's unfair and it's broken. It needs to be fixed. So, and I can see some people, you know how it is. Well, if a Democrat introduced this exact same plan, there'd be some Republicans who'd chastise it, but because it's a Republican, there'll be some Democrats and some folks that chastise it. But it goes back to whether it's K-12 taxes or spending. What's your plan?
Right.
You know, I'm the first one out there who's running for governor, and I actually have a plan. And it's not just my plan. It's a result of talking to voters, talking to business owners, working with economists, because we want tax policy based on good economics, not good emotions.
If folks want to see it, by the way, you've posted it not only on your socials, but on your website, which is ScottSchwab.com. And that's, by the way, yes, that's who we're talking to is Secretary of State Scott Schwab, who's one of the Republican candidates for governor. Let's cover a few basic party platform issues. Where do you stand on basic stuff like the Second Amendment, the right to life? I know these answers, but some of our listeners don't.
Yeah, I've always been endorsed by KFL, and I have 100% voting record on what they consider pro-life legislation. So I'm batting 1,000 there. And then on Second Amendment, yeah, I grew up in Great Bend. As a matter of fact, when we were kids, I went bird hunting. Some people went deer hunting before school, and guns were getting stolen out of the parking lot, out of people's cars. So we were supposed to keep our guns inside the school in our locker. Obviously, you can't do that now. But, you know, like most people who grew up in rural Kansas hunting and fishing, you know, the Second Amendment's very, very important to me. And the Second Amendment, though, I want to clarify, it's not just about hunting. It's also about the self-defense, and also the reason why the founders put it in there was in case the military was ever turned on its citizenry, that then the citizenry would be able to defend itself against the military. So, yes, I'm very pro-2A, and the NRA agrees with me on that.
What are your thoughts on school choice?
You know, I get frustrated when people say, you know, school choice, it'll ruin schools. How? If your schools are good, then you don't have to worry about school choice, because most of these kids aren't going to your school anyway. And if you're serving the people who would take advantage of school choice, then they're not going to utilize it. You're not losing any funding. So I've always been free market. I really truly believe that schools should have to compete for their dollars and not just get it because they sued the state to get it.
One of the issues that, you know, our buddy, former colleague, the current Speaker Pro Tem, used to be a role that you filled, Representative Blake Carpenter, carried in the House, was the legalization of medical marijuana. It may or may not come up. That it's kind of stalled in the Senate. But what are your thoughts on legalization of either recreational medical marijuana?
Well, so this it's a drug. And so I don't think any drug should circumvent a shortcut to get to the consumer, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a, what do you call it? A drug, the thing for COVID. Gosh dang it.
Ivermectin or something like that?
Yeah. It should just go, you know, a vaccine or whether it's medical use marijuana, it needs to go through the same track to get to market, not shortcutted because someone brought an amendment to the floor. My wife's a pharmacist, and here's her concerns, which I think are legitimate. If she dispenses a hypertension medicine for blood pressure, whether it's Walgreens or Walmart, if there's a consistency of what that dispense is going to be. When it comes to marijuana, there's no consistency. So if someone ends up going to the hospital for THC poisoning, are you going to sue the pharmacist who, hey, she just filled what the doctor said. She doesn't know, or he doesn't know, what the potency is.
Right.
And that's the problem with it, is there's no consistency across the line to get dispensed. The only one that I know of that is consistent is by Bayer. And they have Marinol, which helps you, it gives you the munchies, and that it helps people that are going through chemotherapy that don't want to eat. It gives them a desire to be hungry so they can't eat because they need those resources, but it's consistent. Every dispense is consistent, and that's what needs to happen first. And this is where it goes to, you know, we want to make sure we're taking care of Kansans as opposed to just saying, well, people want this, let's throw it out there. Well, let's do it the right way. Let's do it the way we do every other drug and let it go through clinical trials.
Well, one of the issues that I've always said to folks, and I've got listeners who are very, you know, adamant in support of this issue. And the two issues that I've always pointed out to them are, one, this is not, you know, Cheech and Chong or Willie Nelson's ditchweed anymore. This is highly refined product. And the other one is, it's still a Schedule I narcotic. And until the feds Correct. Take care of this issue, it's really not the role of the states, in my opinion.
I think that's true. And that's my concern also, is do local pharmacies shut down because they don't dispense it because they're worried about their license, because you lose your license if you dispense a Class I narcotic.
Right.
So you don't dispense it. Well, then you lose your patient base. And next thing you know, you're killing small business.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's
and the only ones who can survive are the ones that violate federal law, which should be a concern to every citizen.
I think the legislature has done a pretty good job of setting a precedent and establishing it. Hopefully it stays. But I've just, because it's come up a couple of times, your stand on things like the protection for women and girls sports, your stance on protecting children from irreversible gender procedures. It's really sad that we're still having to argue and discuss this issue. You'd think it would be pretty common sense and resolved by now.
Well, I think the legislature did resolve it in Kansas. And it's fascinating because, you know, I read the Wall Street Journal, I read Fox News, I read CNN, I read BBC. I want to have a diverse source of the news I consume. And it's interesting that across the spectrum from the right to the left, more and more Democrats are realizing, hey, guys playing in girls' sports is a losing issue.
Yeah.
Minors getting surgeries that are alter their life when they become an adult is a losing issue. So I think we're winning it. But, you know, I've been Secretary of State now 7 years. Next year will be year number 8. We didn't even talk about this stuff in the legislature.
No.
This was a non-issue just 8 years ago. This is how quickly the world has changed. And I truly believe, you know, just like in markets, politics has these cycles. I think it'll cycle back out.
I
remember,
hope so.
You know, I think so. I mean, Common Core was the big issue of the day. Nobody even talks about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think eventually this will just kind of go to the wayside. Like, it was something we tried, but let's be honest, it was never really a safe idea.
I asked this question of all candidates. You know it's coming. I asked it at the forum. And you gave me the right answer.
In my yard.
You gave me the right answer at the forum. I'm sure you'll do the same here. But I believe it's essential that we elect Republicans this fall. I know that you want to be the nominee. I know you expect to be the nominee. But if you are not the nominee, will you support the Republican nominee in the general if it's not you?
100%.
Yep. And to your credit, as Secretary of State and when you were pro tem, you were on the Remain Red bus. You were back. You supported Schmidt. You supported Kobach. And I can testify that because I drove the dang bus. So you've got a history of that. But I do have to ask that question because I want to make sure that we know that.
Fine. It's a fair question. And it's one we've been asking for years because, you know, even back during the 90s when we had the big moderate conservative fights across the state, you know, that was the question is, you know, if a conservative becomes a nominee, are you going to support them? And conservatives would get upset at moderates because they'd say no. Well, now if we have a moderate that becomes the nominee, conservatives need to hold true to their principles and say, yeah, I'm going to support them.
Yeah, well, you know, any Republicans, by and large, any Republicans better than any Democrat. And I think we have to hope that, now, granted, we want a good conservative candidate, but it's important, you know.
Yeah, and as someone who can get elected, you know, and to give you the bar, I mean, Derek Schmidt was a dang good candidate.
Yes.
But he didn't win. Now, it's an open seat, and we got a chance, but it seems like we always lose this seat to a new Democrat when there's a Republican president whose poll numbers may not be good, and it's an off-year election. So electability is a big issue this year, or going into next year. And so you're going to have to raise money, and you have to be someone who can be elected statewide. And I'm the only one that has the conservative credentials that's been elected statewide in the last 10 years that's running for governor. I've never lost a statewide race. Never.
Well, and I know we'll see you down here in January for the state convention coming up on the 31st. It's a little more than a month, hardly a month away. So we'll see you then. And I do thank you for joining us this evening. If folks want more information on your campaign, if they want to volunteer or donate, they can visit scottschwab.com, correct?
Yes. Thank you for putting that out there. And just encourage people, go ahead and get engaged now before all the noise starts. If you want to have a conversation with me, reach out. You know, you can reach out through the web portal there, and we can have the conversation. And as we continue to run, you know, obviously this was bald week for me, you know, the bald property tax plan. But eventually we're going to, you know, we're also big on modernization. We'll be talking about our plans there as the campaign goes forward. Our next policy next year, Q1 next year, is what we're doing for rural communities, because our rural communities are hurting and they need to be revitalized. And we'll be launching that in Q1 of next year.
Well, and Scotty, I think about you often. I think, you know, when we worked together on the amusement park legislation after the loss of your son. And so I think about you often, my friends. So I wish you all the best and your family.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you guys, and wish you best of luck. And if I don't see you before then, Merry Christmas, and I'll see you in January.
Yes, you will see me in January. Merry Christmas to you too, John, and all your listeners. And obviously, there could be Happy Hanukkah as well, so we want to be respectful towards your friends, absolutely.
Yes. Thank you again, my friend, and carry on, brother.
You too. Thank you, sir.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then author Eric Weir will attempt to explain why, despite the data, voters aren't feeling the benefits of Trump's economy compared to Biden's. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to us on the iHeartRadio, Odyssey, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow The John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So President Trump insists that prices are coming down. There are some economic indicators that actually bear that out, but voters say they're still getting squeezed. Trump declared the U.S. economy is strong and holds an A++++ grade under his leadership, despite inheriting the mess that he inherited from the Biden administration. So what's the truth? With us now is Eric Weir. He is author of Who's Eating Your Pie? Essential Financial Advice That Will Transform Your Life. He's the principal of WCM Global Wealth. Eric, thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas, my friend. It's nice to have you on the show.
It's my pleasure, and thanks for having me on today.
So, Eric, I guess the simple way to ask this is, why aren't the American people feeling the love? Because I know, you know, we go to the groceries, you know, certain products are cheaper. Eggs are better than they were under Biden. Gas is better. Sure. But why aren't people feeling it?
You know, I think that the statements that are coming are general. The economy's better. Things are better. We're having growth, et cetera. But it doesn't translate. I think it needs to be reframed into you know, fuel is a gas is 35 cents a gallon cheaper, just specifics across the country. Your utility costs are down. But you may say that, you know, you're the housing prices are about the same. Interest rates are down, but not a lot. But it's reframing. If you just say it's cheaper, you feel the pain first and you feel the policy later.
Gotcha. I mean, so as a general rule, is the economy better under Trump than Biden?
Yes, it is. As a general rule, and from the main positives that I see is we're in a lower interest rate environment than we were. So the Fed is cutting rates. That's a positive. Number two, due to tariffs and negotiations, foreign companies are creating jobs in America. And they're going to be building and investing significantly in factories and equipment. That's huge. Number three, AI is one of the largest growth industries in the world, and 90% of it is in America. So we have a lot of reasons to be grateful. Things are getting better, but they're getting better. If you own assets, or if you're in the stock market, on real estate, they've gotten a lot better. If you don't, if you're looking at your paycheck, they've gotten somewhat better, but not a lot better.
So yeah, I mean, if you're Joe Lunchpail, then you may not be feeling it as much. But you're right, stock market 100%. Is better, unemployment levels are better.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this is just voters' perceptions of the economy, and. To be honest with you, I think part of that is because the media keeps bashing it, and that's because they want to. They don't want people to think it's better.
Well, it's better and it's natural. So if you go back a few years ago, if you got a $1,500 check in the mail from the government, you're like, I'm feeling great, right? I can go buy things. I'm going to buy some electronics. I'm going to go to Topgolf. I'm going to do whatever. Well, those checks are behind us now,
right?
But we are in a better shape because now it's natural. You're sort of coming off a sugar high and just say, you know, we have enough strength on our own that we don't need that. And it's just a change. But I mean, we had so much liquidity, we had soaring inflation. I mean, inflation was double digits, so now it's small. The unemployment was huge, and now it's small. Companies are moving to America, so we're in a good economic position. But Joe Lunchpail, like you're saying, you might not just feel it yet. That's
well,
the fact.
And all those checks that you're talking about, that's all artificial. That's fake. That's phony 100%. Money. And eventually, that stuff, like you said, it runs out. But that's also other people's money that you're spending.
It's other people's money, and it creates a future obligation for all of us. Right. So it's better in so many ways. But it's not euphoric. You're not like, hey, eggs are, you know, a dollar. Prices are coming down, but it's incremental. You know, and the biggest change has been fuel prices. Man, that's been amazing.
So how long do you think it'll be? And hopefully it's before the midterm elections. But how long do you think it'll be before people actually start feeling it, before people start saying, oh, well, hey, wait a minute, I'm noticing this. I'm noticing the change. I'm actually starting to feel it in my pocketbook.
The U.S. economy is like a giant tanker, and a 1% move is a big move when you apply it to $26 trillion, right?
Right.
So what I would say is you'll begin to feel it at an increasing rate, but I don't think it's going to be just super dramatic. It'll be like, wow. You know, it's like everything else. If you're on a diet, you lose a half a pound a week, and in 3 months, your friends, you've lost weight, but you might not notice it yourself. It's incremental and it's slow. But I'm expecting it to be improving throughout the year, and most people, I believe, will begin to feel it.
Well, and if that's the case, then hopefully by, you know, November, people have noticed it enough to impact the midterm elections.
Yes.
And that's really got to be the key, because if they don't,
the biggest issue is the people who are angry at Trump, no matter what happens, they're going to hate him.
Well, yeah, 100%. Exactly.
And the people who are waiting to feel the love, as you opened up with, are going to be slow to feel it. So you've got to be motivated to vote based on expectation and based on this is natural. It's not artificial. We've got a good economy. We have good policies. Let's get out and vote. Because the group that's activated, they're going to show up and vote.
is they're just mad. And no matter how good it is, they're still going to be mad.
Right.
So I think it's important to think about, you have to get out and vote every election. Every election matters.
Well, and again, this, we've got to play the long term here. You got to play the long ball and not worry about the little bumps in the road. So, Eric, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for the analysis. If folks want to connect with you, they can find you at ericweer.com. That's ericweer.com, correct?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Merry Christmas, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. What are you feeling? Do you feel the economy moving in the right direction? Are you still doom and gloom, or are you out there already shopping for your Christmas knickknacks? I know I already got my wife a Christmas gift, and she was, we opened it already. We, you know, well, it came, and I've never been good about, you know, once it arrives, it's like, all right, we'll open it. So I guess I'm going to have to go buy her another one. Are you already, how are you feeling on the economy? You know, whatnot. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They're fantastic folks. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. If you're looking for a way to get involved, you have the power to change the trajectory of our city. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Love this song. Love this version. Awesome version. Rick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Rick from Wichita. Merry Christmas, brother.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, John. I even said Alexa to tell me when he's coming on tonight. You know, John, what I think pissing a lot of people off, it pisses me off, is everybody, you know, sees a Somalia crap. And everybody wants instant gratification, and they want it from the government.
Oh, yeah.
They want it from us, the taxpayers. I'm retired, me and my wife both, 40 years in aircraft. But now I'm an investor. I have to do something else different. So I see it from the stock market. I trade it all day long. And the people just want something for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. And I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
I tell people, hey, you got to, they don't want to vote. I'm talking about, you know, I go back, I helped Todd Tehart get in there.
I did too back in the day. That was one of the first campaigns I worked on was Tehart's.
Yeah. And Peggy Palmer, you know, I go with a lot of them. And matter of fact, I know Emil Burkus. And I'm just sitting here saying, if people just get out and work their butts off for what they want instead of thinking, handing the card out and saying, give me what I want. And
yeah.
I stood in a grocery store line. I thought, what on earth? The lady's got two grocery carts, and she keeps handing them cards. And they keep running them, and they keep running them. And I went to the grocer, and I said, what on earth was that lady doing? And she said, obviously, you've never been on food assistance.
Yeah, EBT. Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing. Look, America, the way our system is designed, you're supposed to have equal opportunity. That doesn't guarantee you anything. It just gives you an equal opportunity to succeed. But for a lot of people, that's not good enough. And if that opportunity means you have the opportunity to succeed, but it's also the opportunity to fail. And I got to be honest with you. I've failed before. I've been fired from jobs before. I've had successes and I've had failures. And frankly, you learn as much, if not more, from your failures as you do from your successes. But for some people, that's not good enough. And I think you don't do anyone you can almost do a disservice to people if you give them handouts to the point that they don't earn it. And I always liked that line from John Houseman, you know, Smith Barney, you know, you earn it. And if they don't earn it, they don't appreciate it. And look, I'm all for welfare for those people who need it and are unable to do for themselves. But if you are able, it's like a lot of the reforms that they're doing to welfare these days. Look, if you can't provide, then that's what welfare is for. But if you need a hand up, then we'll help you up. But we're not going to do for you if you were able to do for yourselves. Rick, I appreciate the call, brother. I know Pat, we've got a couple of other folks who've been on the line. We just had a long show tonight. We will be back next Sunday. We're not getting preempted, so we'll have another show next Sunday. So give us a call next Sunday. We'll try and leave a few extra segments for callers next Sunday. In the meantime, everyone have a Merry Christmas. We will be with you next Sunday. No worries. Next Sunday, the 21st. Don't forget to tune in starting January 5th. To Woodward and Witt, our new morning show. In the meantime, carry on. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.